Pop.
Geek Out.
Geek Out.
Hello, welcome to Geek Out. Welcome to another episode of the online-only exclusive place where we talk about all things geeky around tech for blind and partially sighted people. I'm Stephen Scott. Hello. With me this week, we have Sean Preece.
Hello, Stephen Scott.
And we've got Kayaker with us. Hello, Kayaker.
Hello, Stephen and Sean. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Thank you. We thought we'd invite you on because you are the security experts. Well, basically among us, you're a security expert. And we thought we'd talk to you because, I don't know, but I just tend not to bother with security when it comes to my Mac or my PC or my Android or my iOS or anything, quite frankly. I just kind of assume that it'll all be okay. And that's probably not the right way to go about it, is it?
No, that used to be okay in like the 80s or 90s, but today, no. The technology has really created a criminal market out there that wants to take over your identity, your credit cards, and all other information that you have out there. Scary place.
What if you don't have any money?
Well, they can still do a lot of damage to your credit history or taking over your data or locking up those precious pictures. So you might not have money, but I bet you have some sort of data that you're interested in keeping safe, be it pictures, be it audio files, be it music. So that's at risk too.
Oh, he's got money. Don't listen to him. He's got loads of money.
No. I've got money tied up in various Apple assets. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, but it is a serious thing, isn't it? Because, you know, you're right. Online identity is something that we're probably far more vulnerable to these days than anything else. I mean, you know, you think even just about your Twitter account. If it was hacked and someone could get in there and start posting on your behalf and saying horrible things, or get into your Facebook account, and, you know, it could be pretty. I mean, it doesn't have to be financial, does it?
Not at all. And, you know, you see that with celebrities, and you see that with everyday people who get their Facebook accounts hacked. And these types of social media items are being used by employers to check out your history. So anything that's up there that's not yours and you can't argue about could come back to bite you in the end. So it's very important to make sure that what you put out there on the internet is from you and not from someone else.
I saw that the other week, actually. I was on a social networking site for people looking for jobs, and it was interesting, actually. This guy, his employer, had put up a comment saying that he had decided not to offer someone a job because he checked out their social media profile, and it turned out they were a cannabis user, and not only that, a cannabis promoter. So they decided that wouldn't necessarily fit in with the company, and the guy didn't get the job as a result. So, you know, it's not just security you've got to think about, is it? It's actually what you post online as well.
Absolutely. And I think people are too quick to just post things on a whim up there and think it's funny. And then, you know, these things will come back to bite you because it's out there, searchable, and they will find it if they're looking.
I'm frantically thinking what I've posted up now. I'm going to have to go back through everything. Delete, delete, delete.
Yes.
I did that a while back, actually. I went through my social life, if you like, and thought I have to delete most of this because, you know, there are comments you put up at a moment in your time when you think, you know, I'm really annoyed about this. And I have to be honest, when I'm hungry, I am at my most aggressive. So, you know, that's usually a dangerous time for
me. Like a bear.
I am. Sean knows about this because he's got the text to prove it. He could destroy me. But you know, when it comes to security, I mean, Sean, what are you like? Are you like me? Do you bother with any of this? I don't think you're the type.
How dare you? No, you're absolutely right. I don't. I mean, I like to think I'm careful with emails that I get, not going to any website, checking URLs of the websites I am on. So I do like to think that I'm careful, but I don't actually take security too seriously, as in being active about it, making sure my passwords are unique to each account. I do run the Windows Defender. I don't run any other antivirus on top of that. So I think I'm like a lot of people. I think I know enough where I'm safe, but I probably know enough to be in danger, actually.
That's true, because I had a computer years ago, and I think it was my second computer. And at that point, I took an interest in security. So I bought Norton, and I put it on my computer, and then I watched a really good, serviceable PC turn into a pile of nonsense yes. that could barely scrape through a Word document. And I thought, wow, this has really knackered my computer. And I just instantly took it off. It became so resource heavy. And that's something that you've got to think about as well. But is there any evidence, Kayaker, that these programs actually secure us, that actually make it any safer?
It's mixed. The jury is still out on that. And I personally today would not recommend any third-party antivirus or security software other than the Microsoft Defender with the current version of Windows. And the reason for that is, A, it does take up a lot of resources. B, it tends to be reactive. So if there's a new threat out there, it's not going to prevent it. It only prevents known threats. And the last one is the things that the antivirus software is allowed to do, looking into your traffic, checking files out, is exactly the type of thing that a bad guy is going to want to do. So it makes a very interesting attack vector. And I think I saw some report, and I wish I had the resource for this, but it was basically a study saying that there were security flaws in the actual antivirus software. And if that were to go down and someone were to compromise your antivirus software, then, you know, all bets are off. They have exactly what they need to do. So it's just another, what we call an attack vector for third parties, bad guys to attack you with.
Hang on, that's quite a thing to say. So you are actually going against probably kind of standard advice that you get from any PC magazine or anything else that says, you know, secure your PC with third-party software. What you're saying is actually avoid that. Go with either the built-in option or just, you know, remain safe somehow online.
Well, I think there's a combination of things. I think you do have to have a best practices. So if you're the type of person who has no self-control, like Sean, for example, and, you know, goes off and clicks on everything, then maybe it might be worth the risk. But if you have good habits, what's built into the Microsoft system today is probably good enough, and it will get updated regularly, monthly. So that's probably your best, most affordable bet. But nothing is better than best practices about your habits, about what you do.
Okay, a couple of myths we need to go through then. So I've got an Apple Mac, an iMac. They don't get viruses, do they?
They certainly do. They certainly do.
What?
Every computer gets viruses or malware. On the Mac, what's happened is that basically, since it's a smaller percentage of the market, the bad guys don't put a lot of resources into it. But there are certainly threats out there as it's becoming more popular, attacks on Safari. But there was just there are several conferences here in the States, Black Hat and DEF CON, where hackers come in and they try to exploit things. And there is not a safe system out there. Within a minute, good hackers can take over any computer by just visiting a web page, unfortunately.
Wow.
It's that scary.
I think one of the scarier things on the radar that came up recently was, you know, ransomware, where you'll get some sort of program on your computer and it will encrypt all the files. And not only that, it will encrypt the files on any attached storage as well.
Correct.
It will encrypt all the files and then it will say, okay, you need to pay us so much to get the key to decrypt these files. And, you know, that was a real turning point. But before that, viruses were, you know, let's say they could be annoying or they could be funny. The worst ones would actually delete files. But these, you know, they actually hold your files to ransom until you pay this money to get them decrypted. I think that was a big turning point. And then there was hospitals, there was police departments that got hit by these, and they had to pay out because the IT departments weren't ready. They didn't have backups in place. They didn't have systems in place to cope with this. And they had to pay to try and get their data back. Of course, the funny thing is that sometimes they didn't get their data back after they paid anyway. But, you know, this just made this all the more. Everyone was jumping on. All these criminal organizations wanted a piece of this because it was easy money. And I think I saw something recently where there was a JavaScript version. So all you had to do was visit this website and that was it. I mean, how do you defend against something like that? It's, you know, it's getting so sophisticated now.
So it's changed because I can understand to some degree a big company or a government agency being targeted. That seems to me different. But when you're thinking about a home user, you know, I tend to wonder, how do you end up with these viruses? I've managed to go through my life fairly virus-free. I mean, I've had one or two, but I can't say it's been anything that bad. you know, what am I doing that, that the other guys aren't doing that end up with these viruses? Is it the websites they go to? Is it because they're downloading stuff off, you know, illegal sites? You know, let's be honest about it. Is that what it comes from?
Partially, it used to be the case. You know, if you were exploring torrents and downloading sites or cracked apps, sometimes bad payloads would be embedded in those apps and they'd install stuff on your computer. But the attacks have become much more sophisticated. Think about what originally the World Wide Web was just meant to be sort of a static way to link documents together for research. Now your browser essentially is a web application platform that runs applications. It runs your email clients for Gmail, for example, and it can do a heck of a lot more. Your banking, you know, all this advanced interface stuff that it was never meant to do. It's a very, very powerful processor interpreter that runs instructions. And unfortunately, it's hard to keep that thing safe and secure. And what's happened is that there are tiny little exploits that have crept over the years. And they will, you know, exploit one little problem and say, you know, something that plays a movie. And then they'll try something that takes over a JPEG file demonstration. And these things build up until they finally take over your system. So it can actually be as simple as just clicking on a bad website that's providing bad content. And you might not even know it. There's been several cases where major ad campaigns, you know, like the ad services that throw those banner ads in there, have malicious content. And then if you click on them, it would take you to a site that would, you know, basically take over your computer and potentially install malware. It's that sophisticated. And it's hard to keep safe. It really is. So you can, today, if the criminals are good enough, they can craft something that can be embedded in an ad that is bad enough to take over and do some damage to your system.
We do rely a lot more now on the bigger companies to filter out this stuff when it comes to web pages and that, you know, like Google or whatever, to filter out these search results to try and get rid of these dangerous sites.
Right. But even if it's a ad company that's inserting content from, you know, I'm paying someone to play my ad someplace, the ad agency might not filter that. It might look fine. It might just look like a link to some website. But if you click on that link, that's a bad site. So it's hard. It's really hard to keep track of these things. And there should be some liability, I think, for these companies to be sure that these ads are legit, because it is a real concern.
Are we more vulnerable because we have no idea? I mean, you can, I guess, figure it out if you know what you're looking for. But, you know, if you're using a screen reader and you get an email and it's got a link in it, and it seems genuine enough, and you click on it, and then you end up with all of this. You know, how do you avoid that? How can you get around that?
You really can't. And my advice is simple. Never click on a link that you get in email unless you're expecting it directly from an action that you performed. So if out of the blue you get a message from your bank saying, you know, hey, we got a great new credit card offer, check this out, click this link to see the offer, I will not click on that link. I will go to the credit card company directly by typing in their URL or from my bookmark that I entered originally, or perhaps I'll call them up on the number in the back of my card to see if that offer still applies. It's that level of malicious crafting of emails that are designed to trick you to make you click on a link. And you can't always tell by the URL unless you do some really, really detailed inspection. That URL could be a redirection too. You might be jumping several hops to get to the final destination. So you might not even be able to see where it's actually taking you to.
So what do you recommend for Windows and Mac users then? I mean, Sean mentioned Windows Defender. Is that a good option?
I think it is. I think Microsoft has done a pretty good job on that platform. And I think some of the third-party security and antivirus softwares are a little miffed that Microsoft is including that, because it's really become much more robust. And you really need that level of trust with Microsoft and the updates to deal with that. And you know they'll be on top of it. For the Macintosh side, there really isn't a product I recommend. There are some third-party I do run an open-source ClamSieve antivirus thing once in a while, but that's something that I run once periodically just to see if there's any malware threats in there. But my main thing on the Mac is basically I don't run as an administrator on my main account. I run as a standard user, so even if something does try to take over my computer, they can't change anything critical without having a, you know, password prompt being thrown up in my face saying, hey, you know, please enter your administrator password. That's probably the best thing, and that's cross-platform. So on your Windows PC and your Macintosh, make sure you are not running as an administrator account you're running is just a basic user account. It means that when you have to install software or do something a little fancy, you're prompted for an administrator account and password, but it's something that's very easy to set up on both systems.
Do you know, that is probably the best advice I've ever heard. That is a brilliant idea. I'm going to do that tonight.
He's impressed, Kayaker. Well done.
I am. That is, honestly, that is probably the best advice. I've never thought about that, and it makes so much sense. Okay, I think we've terrified people enough at the moment. We'll terrify people more, but I think now it's time to move to a more important matter, and that is what our Geek Out Biscuit of the Week actually is. Some music, please.
I like biscuits. That's what I like.
Right, okay. Is it, now, do you know what a biscuit is, Kayaker? Do you have biscuits in America?
Kayaker, can I just kick in here? This is nothing to do with me. I'm against this feature from the start. This is all Stephen's idea.
Nonsense. He loves this.
We do have biscuits. They're a southern thing. they're often gravy and biscuits. Ooh. It's sort of like a little roll
gravy
that's...
and biscuits. That's, you know, crazy.
Chewy and warm and gooey.
Yes. Gravy only goes with chips.
Exactly.
No.
Let's not get into chips.
Don't get me started on this, Kayaker. This is not a good road to go down. Gravy and biscuits, are you insane? I don't get it.
But I hear over there you call them something like cookies. So
yeah, so I suppose it is like cookies.
Biscuits
are
cookies.
This one is controversial. This is a controversy all in itself, this one, because today's biscuit is the Jaffa cake.
Hang on. Jaffa cake.
It's not a cake. It's a biscuit.
Oh, you've opened a whole can of worms here, Stephen.
Hashtag cake or biscuit, make your choice. I don't know, but that's the choice this week. So if you hear me munching, you know what's going on. Let's talk about phones, because I have to say I've had this question a couple of times on Tech Talk, and I've often wondered, when it comes to Android and iOS devices, be it the phone or the tablet, the question that was put to me was, you know, what kind of antivirus should I use? And my first thought was, well, none. It's a phone or tablet. It's a locked system. You don't need antivirus software. Tell me different if that's the case.
Well, under iOS, there's really nothing you can do to install to help you on that front. Apple locks it down pretty tight, sandbox. It's really hard to install something bad on an Apple phone. Android's a little more open, and there's so many different variants from the different manufacturers that there are some products out there that you can do it, but it's hard. On the Android side, my best advice is simply do not install apps that aren't from, you know, the Play Store or a known source. If you install third-party apps again, you're opening yourself to other things, because now both Google and Apple are trying to scan for illicit, you know, calls and things like that. So they try to check things out pretty nicely for you.
That's a good point to make, that Android are, Google are actually active in scanning these apps, because it has been for a while, you know, Android security, especially in the Play Store, was pretty lax and it was pretty bad. There was even stories of, you know, phones coming out of manufacturers with malware installed already. So Google have picked up on this, and they are making an effort to do what they can in the Play Store.
Yeah, and it's hard because developers are lazy. So often what they will do is they will go out and look for libraries that support functionality that they want, like network libraries or, you know, rendering of this and that. And if that library is compromised in any way, shape, or form, that means that application suddenly has bad code in it that the developer never intended. So even the best intentioned developer might be including code that might not be under their control directly, that they're using as a library to help write their app, that could be infected. And there have been a few cases of that.
So there's not really much you can do to protect a phone, is there?
It's very hard to protect a phone.
Which kind of goes against the grain, because that is the one thing that we probably use most to get all of our content from. And I don't know about you, but I'm using my phone more and more online because I find it actually more accessible in some ways. So I do that. And then I think I go to the same websites that I'd go to on my Mac or my PC. If those websites are affected or infected, then would my phone get the same treatment that the Mac or PC would get?
Not necessarily. The attacks that I am talking about have to be targeted to a specific system. So if you go to a website, it might only be targeting Windows or only targeting Mac. It's trying to attack the exploits that are known in a particular browser. It might work on Chrome, but it might not work on Firefox. So it's very targeted to the browser and the platform, because Windows code is not going to be able to run on an Android phone or an iPhone. So there's, you have to be, these exploits are really sophisticated, and they're very specific to the actual platforms. In fact, some Android exploits might only work on some Android phones. and some Android versions. So it's hard to actually figure out, you know, what's the safest device. But usually these attacks are very targeted for specific platforms. I will tend to look at websites on my phone first because I use an iPhone, and the Safari browser on the iPhone is very secure. So I feel a lot safer opening up links on my phone or iPad than I would on my computer because it's so much more secure and locked down.
Do you know, we are putting together here a list of some of the best security tips I've ever heard. I mean, this is viral stuff. This is insane.
Actually, it seems we're giving advice totally opposite to most of the other advice you've had before.
Yeah, but I think it's sensible advice. And, you know, actually a lot of this advice kind of fits really well into Blind World, but it actually makes a lot of sense for sighted people as well to consider. I mean, this isn't just for blind people. Everyone can do this. And, you know, that advice earlier about, you know, locking down your system, having, you know, your administrator account and then having a standard account to work on. And, you know, now with the suggestion that, you know, check out websites on your Safari browser first. I think that's all really good stuff. I hear the birds in the background there. Clearly, you're in a country where you can stand outside, Kayaka. That's quite impressive. We can't do that because we'd be blown away. But what's interesting to me is, and the birds made me think about this, Twitter. What a tenuous link that was. That was awful. That was awful. But yeah, Twitter and Facebook and social accounts. It is important that we keep those safe as well. Now, we know that Facebook, for example, has got privacy settings in it. Does Twitter?
Not that I know of. It has very little and much of anything to offer.
Right, okay.
Another Twitter fan there. Well, I mean, the thing with Twitter, it's a service, but most people use Twitter through some sort of client, some sort of app. So, you know, they're accessing it through the API. So Twitter security is a little bit more difficult. I suppose for people embedding any media, photos and things like that, which you would expect as a attack vector, as Kayaka would put it, I think Twitter is pretty safe from that point of view because mainly it's just embedding links and then, you know, taking those links. I haven't heard of any security issues from that aspect. Twitter usually is people getting their accounts hacked, and that's usually from other sources.
It can be a platform to deliver viruses or malware into your system. There was a case, if you recall, with iMessage a while back where if you sent a particular text, it would crash the phone and you'd have to reboot it. That's the level of stuff that you can do with Twitter if you insert a bad JPEG or a bad image into something or a bad link.
Well, you know, I'm minded of the story of the internet-connected kettle that apparently had some kind of hacking capability, so people could get into your home network via your kettle if it was hooked up. So sometimes it's not the network itself they're after, it's the route in that you don't think about and that door entry. And in Twitter's case, and in Facebook's case as well, there are third-party apps. Now, I use, for example, Chicken Nugget for Twitter. Now, that arguably, if Chicken Nugget was hacked, then that would be the entry point to my Twitter account, wouldn't it? Because I have to authorize access to my Twitter account from Chicken Nugget.
Yes, the third-party app sign-ins is an interesting story because that's a, for example, you know when there are websites where it says, you know, log in with your Facebook account?
Yeah.
That whole interface is somewhat of a hack. You know, it's a cool way to use your one credentials for multiple sites, but that type of login always leaves you vulnerable for mistakes, and your Facebook credentials could leak out. The protocol does have a couple holes, and it's usually okay, but that's one thing that I would never do as well. I would never choose a site that says log in with your Facebook or Twitter account. I would always create an account locally on that site because it's just one more way that if there's a compromise on that site particularly, that all your Facebook and all those other accounts someone now has access to.
And that's interesting because what you're talking about there are websites. I've seen them, you know, I use one called Canva, for example, to create graphics for this program. And, you know, you have the option when you sign up, you can use your Facebook or Twitter account or you can set up a separate account. I'm like you. I always use my own account because then I know I've got control over that. And I always have this morbid fear that whatever I do will just end up on Facebook. And I'm not up to anything dodgy, but I just don't
want
my...
That's what you say.
Yeah, I know. But I just don't want my life just appearing on Facebook somewhere without any knowledge of it. I'm quite fussy about things like that. And I think that's, you know, it comes down to self-policing in some ways, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's a privacy concern because when you create an account on these other sites, Facebook knows that you've created an account on that site and they know when you're logging in. So it is sort of a system that can aggregate data on you and about your activities and stuff that normally Facebook wouldn't have any insight into.
So maybe check out the apps you're associated with, perhaps, because you can do that on Twitter. And I'm sure there's ways to do that on the Facebook site as well, where you can actually see the apps. Because we've all done it. I mean, I certainly have done it, where you've signed up to like Tweetbot or you've Twitterific or whatever it is you're using, and then you've fallen away from using that app, but you haven't revoked the access to that app. So if it were to be ever hacked or something happened to it, that would be the direct route in for a hacker.
It's a little more, well, it's a little safer when it's actually on your computer or in your platform, because the client lives on your phone. It's a little more risky when it's going through a third-party website. So it's a little bit safer to use a third-party Twitter client than it would be, for example, to say use a third-party website that's logging in via Twitter.
I really am interested in a lot of this now, because I think it's taking it from the point of view of dodgy websites, which I think, I don't know, it feels to me, and maybe it's just because I don't go trolling the internet looking for them, but it seems to me there's less of the dodgy type of sites out there. I mean, there are ones out there that will replicate companies and try and hack you and get you that way, but that's usually coming through email and it's usually targeted attacks in some way. Whereas actually going to a company's website and that company's website being hacked, you would probably find out about it quite quickly through news these days. So it's not as big a concern as it used to be. Or am I just naive?
I think, if memory serves, that the Trump administration just passed laws where companies no longer have to disclose if they've been hacked in a timely fashion. So I think it might actually have gotten more risky. And it's not so much that they get hacked. They might not even know they've been hacked. How long did it take for Sony to figure out that they were hacked? It was a good year and a half, I think, that this had been going on. Or some of these companies, these things have been going on for a long time and they haven't noticed it. What I'm worried about is the company that really doesn't care about security or puts it, you know, in the back channel and just, you know, does a minimalistic job of security and doesn't really think about it. Those are weak links in the chain. And, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if someone goes in to a nonprofit or a site that doesn't have enough funds to build up a robust website or doesn't update their stuff regularly, you know, not out of anything that's malicious, but just out of almost ignorance, that's a very risky proposition as well for, you know, bad guys to sort of hack that, take over and sort of steal stuff, sort of as a leech, I guess, on, you know, an innocent company.
Well, dear listener, if you're like me, you're absolutely terrified to even go near a website now, then that's fine. I think the suggestion out of all of this is go and buy an iPhone. That's what it seems to me. I mean, that's kind of what you're saying.
Any excuse to push the iPhone, Stephen.
It is.
It's true, though, but because of iPhone's walled garden approach, very tight, they don't give any other apps that isn't Apple access to the low-level, you know, areas of the operating system. It's one of the criticisms towards Apple, but it's also one of its greatest advantages. You know, and it does make it really secure and really hard for people to get in there and do any damage. And the same for Android, that because it's open and you can do anything you like with an Android, you know, people love it for that, but it also makes it a security nightmare.
Yeah. And I'll use a little bit of analogy here. You know, you lock your doors at night, hopefully, to prevent someone from breaking into your house. But if someone is determined, they're going to pick the lock and get into your house. Mm. So if you use some security and as a deterrent, it should stop most of the stuff, but it's certainly not going to stop, you know, the most dedicated criminal.
And I wonder if, when it comes to Apple and, you know, being serious for a minute about it, with Apple, could an attack actually be worse? Because instead of going after phones or apps, they will just go after the Apple, the entire infrastructure, and you could end up with iCloud accounts coming down and all kinds of things. You know, it could actually be worse.
Perhaps. I think that there are certainly very, very tempting targets out there, and I think Apple would be one of them, Google would be one, Microsoft would be one. Some of the password managers are very attractive targets to hack into. But hopefully those, at least for the password manager type companies, security is what they're into. So I think that they're very clever about monitoring such things. I know LastPass has been in the news lately, you know, with risky database breaches. And they're pretty good at reporting things quickly and fixing them quickly. So, you know, it's just a not safe world out there, but you know, you can only do so much. You never will be safe 100%.
Is everyone scared now?
Do you know what? I'm just glad I'm the one here with biscuits. That's all I can say. At least you can't hack a biscuit.
You can, that's for sure. Well, look, it's interesting. From a technical point of view, it's interesting to see how it's all evolved. Like I said, viruses back in the day used to be either, you know, funny, putting something funny on your screen, or at annoying. Worst, they would delete something.
Yeah.
But that was always from an executable file that you'd run somehow. And that was pretty much it. So, a virus scanner was perfect. It would scan the files before you ran them or as you ran them and, you know, check them for certain signatures that identified them as viruses. But now that, well, it's sort of in hand with how much everything has gone online now anyway. You know, there's so many different ways they can attack, either through emails on phishing, you know, sign in here, give us your details, or through JavaScript, like Kayaker said, you know, through a browser is so much more complicated now than it used to be. It can do so much more. It almost seems like you're bombarded now, and it's so much harder to safeguard against them.
It is. So the only thing that you do is just be aware of what's out there, update your system regularly, and, you know, have a best practices approach to things. And hopefully, you know, that'll be good enough.
And eat lots of biscuits.
That's your answer to everything. Biscuits.
It is. Guys, thank you for terrifying the life out of us. But, you know, some really good advice in there as well. Kayaker and Sean, good to have you here.
Thanks.
Tech, talk, geek out. Geek out.